Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Bits scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
And we are back from our three-day weekend. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. How was 4th of July, Heath Cummings and Chris Towers?
Mine was outstanding. I went to the beach about 10:30 in the morning, left about 11:30 at night.
Oh, are you serious?
What do you mean?
That's ridiculous. That's too much time at the beach.
No, it was fantastic. We took a huge cooler, a couple of tents, watched a fantastic fireworks show off of the end of the pier. No one in my party got sunburnt.
Chris, please back me up here. That's too long of a day at the beach.
Oh, I mean, half an hour is too long of a day at the beach.
Well, you're polar opposite there.
I can't imagine something I would want to do less than be at the beach for 13 hours, even if I did get to spend that time with Heath.
Spent most of the day disconnected from social media after wishing Chris a happy birthday on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, yesterday was my birthday, and I spent the day recovering from bunch of mosquito bites on Sunday. I'm dying right now. I'm really uncomfortable with my whole life.
I'm just going to say something. I'm going to throw something out there. Chris sounds like someone who partied pretty hard over the weekend.
Not. Yeah. A little bit. I mean, Friday, Saturday, and Monday, but not Sunday.
See, I was exactly the same. I had no beverages at all on Sunday. Saturday was a very nice Funky Buddha takeover at the Mellow Mushroom.
Okay.
So that was a long night. And then yesterday, I mean, you can't sit at the beach for 12 hours. You got to stay hydrated.
I went to a rock show on Friday and had a good time.
Good for you. Well, let's get into fantasy baseball, guys, and tell everybody what they need to know, what they've missed over the last few days. We'll look at the most added list. We'll try to read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Matt Harvey, Junior Guerra, and plenty, plenty more. By the way, my 4th of July was great, too. Thank you guys for asking. Now, here's a surprising stat for you.
Hey, you're the host. You're driving this ship.
You could have asked, you know, just because it's
I didn't really care.
That's fine. Well, it was great. Outstanding day, outstanding weekend, and God bless America. What a place. So here's something surprising for you. Can you guys name the top four catchers in fantasy, points or roto? And the top three should be pretty obvious. Number four is a little surprising.
Jonathan LaCroix.
Number three.
Good job. Salvador Perez.
Nope.
Wilson Ramos.
Number two or one, depending on the format.
Buster Posey, I
correct.
Would assume. And... So, JT Realmuto.
Yes, good job. JT Realmuto is now the number four catcher in fantasy behind Ramos, Posey, and Jonathan LaCroix. Realmuto batting .325 with a robust .440 slugging percentage, 5 home runs, but he does have 7 steals.
He stole like 3 bases this weekend.
Yeah, well, and he's got he's got 11 of 12 games hitting in 11 of 12 games. He's raised his batting average 20 points. Realmuto's batted leadoff 2 games in a row. And what are your overall thoughts on JT Realmuto? I don't really think he's having a special season, but he's the number 4 catcher in fantasy.
I mean, he's having a pretty special season. If he hits .325 as a catcher and steals 15 bases, and that's special. I don't care if he doesn't quite have the power numbers. Everybody, it's seemingly on this Marlins team, is hitting. If they could just find one more outfielder.
He is, he's kind of having like a Jason Kendall without the walks season.
Which doesn't sound great, really.
Yeah, I mean, what it really mostly is he's played in one fewer game than Salvador Perez so far. The Marlins just aren't using Jeff Mathis very much, which is probably what you should do when Jeff Mathis is your backup catcher. But
and a .370 BABIP helps.
Yeah, sure. But it does make me wonder, you know, if there's going to be a point where he runs into trouble and can't keep it up.
Yeah, well, that might be happening to Salvador Perez. He's been horrible for a couple of weeks now. Who would you guys rather own rest of season, Perez or Realmuto?
Perez.
Who would you rather own rest of season, Brian McCann or Real Muto?
I'm going to stick with McCann just because, I mean, assuming McCann still gets to play half of his games at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I would assume he will. Yeah, I'd probably go with him too, but I think Real Muto is a solid starting catcher.
All right, last one. How about Evan Gattis or Real Muto?
Real Muto in a head-to-head league for sure, because he really doesn't strike out very much, and Gattis strikes out entirely too much. But the power for Gattis might push it in his favor.
All right, that's your Real Muto segment. Here's our email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It's from Aaron from our podcast league. Aaron asks, will the next week be a three-day week due to the All-Star break? Thank you for asking, Aaron. No, it will not. And this is what I recommend for all of you commissioners. Do not, especially you, Heath, because you are the commissioner of a categories league.
Right.
You absolutely 100% cannot have that categories league have a three-day week. That is going to leave us very susceptible to 10 nothings and 9-1s. Extend it, make it a 10-day week, and reduce your regular season from, you know, however many weeks, just, you know, subtract by one. Same amount of games, but we're combining 2 weeks.
I agree with you. Having somebody ask you that question after this week has already started, when you're going to add those three games to this week.
No. Like, I'm not adding them to this week. I'm adding
the next week?
Yeah, I'm making next week 3 days plus the following week.
So people's lineups are going to lock well in advance of knowing who's going to play after the All-Star break or what pitching rotations are going to be.
I don't think it's never been a problem. I've done it 2 or 3 years in a row.
It's not that big of a problem, Heath. Zip it up.
Everybody's a two-star pitcher. That's all you need to know.
I think the ideal situation would have been to combine it with this week.
What?
It's just 3 days at the end of the week as opposed to 3 days and then 5 days off and then a week.
No. Listen, the 3 days are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When is the All-Star break?
That's a great question.
How are you so confused about this? You have the All-Star
break starts on Monday.
Yes.
It runs until Friday.
Right, exactly. The All-Star break is Monday to Thursday. You have
riveting
games.
Podcast material.
I got this. Listen.
I think it's good.
All-Star break is Monday to Thursday. You have games Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the start of the week. The week continues into the following next 7 days. You get a 10-day week. You get the weekend plus the next 7 days. 10-day week. Commissioners, go to your league. Make that happen. Do not have a 3-day week. It is ridiculous. It is a bad idea.
Agreed.
All right. Tweet of the day is from Matt. Is it time to drop Aaron Nola for Junior Guerra? What do you think?
I dropped Aaron Nola in a league this weekend, and I did not feel good about it at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
It was a 10-team league, and I didn't have room for him. He's not going to make another start until after the All-Star break. I'm just kind of hoping that everybody sees how bad he was, doesn't pick him up, and I have somebody else go on the DL so I can pick him back up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, he's been awful for the last 5 starts. It's really weird because it wasn't like there was much of a sign of it coming. His last start before this run on June 5th, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 6 shutout innings. The big thing for me is that there's no like obvious issue. It's not like his velocity's down or he's throwing his pitches any differently. It's literally just he's a little less sharp. And I think he's the type of pitcher that, because he doesn't have overwhelming stuff, he's not a traditional ace in that way. He does really have to be very fine to thrive.
And what I couldn't figure out, because he...
Aaron Nola.
Yes. In the month of June and July, Aaron Nola has really gotten BABIPed all to heck. He's also, in the month of June, Nola gave up a 35% hard contact rate with a 25% line drive rate.
Yeah, he's getting crushed.
That's going to lead to getting BABIPed.
Yeah, he's been bad, and it's not just location. I watched the last couple starts of his, and yeah, location's been a problem for him. He's been all over the place. There was one start where his manager, Pete McCannon, said I don't know if he hit the glove all day or something like that, and that is a problem, but that doesn't mask everything. I mean, you know, if you're getting hit that hard.
But I think the issue is that some pitchers can get away with, you know, mediocre location or command. I don't think he's one of them.
Yeah.
I think he's someone that really, like, to be good, he needs to be at the top of his game in a way that some of the pitchers that you would consider on his level maybe but don't have to be.
The one thing I will say about the location part of it is, I mean, he had those two starts against the Blue Jays and the Twins where Nola walked six batters in six innings and just got killed.
Yep.
His last two starts against the Royals and Giants, he's faced a couple teams that don't really strike out. And Nola struck out 11 and 8 and a third. He's only walked one. He's only given up one home run.
Yeah.
But he's somehow given up 10 runs. So I could see where maybe Nola fixed the command issue, and he's just had a little bit of bad luck in his last couple starts.
Well, the start against the Royals was fairly encouraging. I think he gave up all the runs in one inning, and then he finished strong. But he's only half of this question here. Would you drop him for Junior Guerra, and how do you guys feel about Guerra, who is 69% owned?
Looking at the earlier on the season, looking at him, he was getting solid strikeout numbers, but the underlying stuff behind it wasn't really good. But looking at the pitch effects right now, you know, his swing strike rate on his splitter especially is very impressive, 21.8% for Guerra. So, you know, I do think there is something here with how well he's pitching. I think he's definitely someone who should be added.
But you wouldn't drop Nola for Guerra.
I wouldn't do that.
All right, so let's talk about who you would drop for him. Can I throw out some names here?
Let's do it.
Would you drop Carlos Rodon for Junior Guerra?
No chance.
I mean, probably not, but I did drop Carlos Rodon recently in a 10-team league because he's just been so mediocre.
That's probably the one place I'm not picking Guerra up is a 10-team league.
Mm-hmm.
So I've dropped Nola, Chris has dropped Rodon, but it wasn't in the type of league where I would be picking up Guerra. And I mean, you can say Rodon's been mediocre in terms of runs allowed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's had several very good starts recently. He's had two that were four runs, but he hasn't really had a blow up since May.
Yeah.
No. And he's still getting the strikeouts. So,
but not a lot of innings, right? He's usually 5 2/3. He doesn't go six a lot, Carlos Rodon, if I recall.
He has not gone six in his last two starts, but Rodon has gone six in three of his last five, and
he's only had four starts where he hasn't gone at least six this season.
Okay.
Just one of them, he got one out.
How many does he go seven, though? And it seems to be like his limit, Carlos Rodon.
Only two.
Yeah, he's gone 6 2/3 several times, six
and
a third.
So he's a six-inning pitcher. And look, he's throwing 108, 110, 102, 105, 99 pitches. He's very inefficient, Rodon. Yeah. He needs to be more efficient to take the next step.
But I'm not dropping a guy that's a six-inning pitcher that strikes out more than a batter per inning, probably, for Junior Guerra.
All right, more names. Would you drop Anthony DeSclafani for Junior Guerra?
Sure.
How about Yordano Ventura?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So there, you know, make room for Junior Guerra. Who knows where it's going to go, but gosh, I know all of you out there have pitchers that are worth dropping. For Junior Guerra, it's just been that kind of year. Please weigh in on my Twitter poll. This was brought up by Scott White and me on the Friday show. I think it's a ridiculous debate, but it was pretty close last I checked. I don't know if either of you have an opinion here, but the Twitter poll is, which game on old school regular Nintendo was better, Tecmo Bowl or Super Tecmo Bowl? I vote Super Tecmo Bowl. Scott says Tecmo Bowl.
I cannot honestly say I know the difference between the two games.
That's the problem with your poll, Adam. Everybody sees Tecmo Bowl and Tecmo Super Bowl, and they think, man, I loved Tecmo Bowl. And I think what they really loved was Tecmo Super Bowl.
I don't think you're giving people enough credit. Those two games are legendary games, and I think people know the difference.
It's 30 years ago.
It doesn't matter. I don't have 15-year-olds following me.
What's that?
I don't have 15-year-olds as my Twitter followers. These people are in their 30s and 40s.
I'm 28.
Yeah.
Well, you don't count, Chris. You don't know anything. Heath.
Wow.
Jeez.
About Nintendo.
Yeah, Chris just left the room.
Sorry.
I'll tell you. I voted for Tecmo Bowl in the poll.
You did?
Like, as soon as I saw it, I picked Tecmo Bowl. And then I went to Google, and I was like, crap, I meant to vote for Tecmo Super Bowl. That was clearly the better game. And I don't think I'm the only person, if they would go back and look at it. Tecmo Bowl didn't even have all the teams.
Yeah, no, Tecmo Bowl is very, very limited. Four plays.
How can I say that Tecmo Bowl was better when I grew up as a Chiefs fan and the Chiefs weren't even a team on the game?
That's pretty funny, actually. So right now, Tecmo Super Bowl has a 59%. owner, I was about to say ownership percentage. No, 59% of the poll votes.
I liked Blades of Steel.
Get out of here, Chris Towers, now.
No, that's a great game. How many fat guys and how many skinny guys?
Oh, I don't know.
Wasn't that game?
I don't know what that means.
Maybe that was NHL.
I remember there was some game for NES where you could fight people.
Yes.
And I liked
that. I think every hockey game.
But, like, the fights were good in this one.
I don't think I ever played Blades of Steel. Wow. I got to get on that. I'm going to advance the show now. And it's summertime, people. It is a great time to go to a ball game or to a concert. Maybe you're looking to sell some tickets. Do what I do. Use the only website or app that I use to buy or sell tickets, and that would be SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com or the free SeatGeek app. Use it right now. You got a chance to save $20. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Now, SeatGeek makes the process of buying tickets online so simple. No more relying on just one source. No more scouring the internet to find the best deal. With SeatGeek, you never miss a deal because it pulls all the tickets in for you. It does all the price comparison by searching multiple ticket sites. So SeatGeek does all the work, saves you time and money, and SeatGeek ranks all the seats based on value. You can also see the view from your seats that you select. It's very cool. Download the app. Just mess around with it. You're going to see why this is the best way to buy tickets now. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FANTASY in all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today. Again, all caps, FANTASY. Take advantage of it. A lot going on in bullpens, fellas. Andrew Miller will reportedly not be traded. That doesn't mean Aroldis Chapman won't be traded, but that was a report out that Miller won't be traded.
That makes a lot of sense. Chapman's a free agent at the end of this year. There's no reason to trade Miller.
Yeah.
Brandon Maurer will get the first crack at saves for San Diego. That situation has not come up yet, I don't believe. Oh, he might have gotten a save on Friday, actually. But yeah, he's the first guy who's getting the saves. AJ Ramos has been pretty bad since the Fernando Rodney trade, and Rodney struggled yesterday at the Mets. How about that? They make the trade, and all of a sudden, Ramos craps the bed. Has two bad outings, and Ramos was bad yesterday, Chris. Rodney was bad yesterday.
Well, Rodney being bad is just a total surprise. Who could have seen that coming? I very much doubt AJ Ramos is going to lose his closer's job. He's a lot better than Fernando Rodney.
Okay. Alex Colome could be back this week. Adam Ottavino could be back soon for Colorado, and he really might close. In fact, the article today that I read, it's just the AP recap, said Rockies closer Adam Ottavino. I'm not sure if you guys have seen anything, but Jake McGee is off the DL but not pitching in the ninth. So yeah, this might be a closer coming back here, Adam Ottavino.
I thought they said that
Estevez
was just going to keep the job.
Did they say that?
That was what I had read. Now, okay, maybe they were just saying he's going to keep the job until Ottavino comes back.
Okay, at the very least, put Adam Ottavino on your radar here.
Right.
We'll see if we can find anything else about that. I just searched.
Also, as far as the Fernando Rodney thing, I think he should stay on the radar because, I mean, I agree with Chris that Ramos is better. This team just gave up what Chris thought was way too much to get Rodney. So I don't think his estimation of Rodney's talent and their estimation of Rodney's talent are the same.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a guy that I've seen picked up in a couple of leagues. Edwin Diaz. He is a Seattle reliever, and he's got a 1.76 ERA and 5 walks, 29 strikeouts, and 15 and a third. Certainly no indication that he's going to be the closer, but if you just want to get some good ratios and get a ton of strikeouts from a reliever, Edwin Diaz and his nasty slider, put him on your roster.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
No, it just he looks really good.
Yeah, I'd like to I'd like to see Edwin Diaz. I read an article about him, but apparently pretty darn good. I see that Luke Gregerson is still owned in 40-ish% of leagues, and I think that's a smart move, guys. Will Harris, look, he hasn't really been that bad or anything, but he's been less than dominant lately. He nearly gave up a game-tying home run, got a fly out to the wall to get the save yesterday, and Gregerson has just been so good since moving to the eighth inning. What do you guys think about this?
I mean, I know we do it, but I personally hate holding relievers who aren't actually getting saves. I know sometimes you have to speculate, but it's just like the reward for the payoff for what you're investing just never really seems particularly strong enough, but maybe that's just me. I just have trouble doing that.
I think your underselling hasn't been dominant too. I mean, he's only given up one run in his last five appearances, which is very good. He's given up eight hits in five innings and only struck out four.
Yeah. It could just be a little slump for him, you know. This is Will Harris we're talking about, but Harris has been pretty good for 2 years now, you know.
Right.
But no, it's relevant. I didn't know the numbers off the top of my head. I just knew things weren't going great for him, and Gregerson has been great. So maybe if you have Gregerson, you need saves. Just be patient. Jason Hayward has moved down the lineup. Let's look at the rest of the news here, and he's been struggling lately. How close are you guys to dropping Jason Hayward?
Yeah, I'm not really.
Yeah, it's hard to drop him, but I wouldn't start him.
I mean, this guy is a member of the Adam Azer All-Stars.
Why?
His entire career, he's been better in the second half, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
First half for his entire career, 250, 335, 405. That's a slash line. In the second half, Jason Hayward, 287. It's 37 points higher. 373, 447.
Well, there you go.
I mean, he's just always better in the second half. Takes Jason Hayward a long time to warm up,
you know?
Yes.
It's like one of those old cars. You got to pump the thing.
And it probably takes even longer to warm up in Chicago. I mean, this is a guy that needed to warm up in Atlanta.
It's cold in Chicago.
The wind blows?
You know, you guys are scoffing at this idea of a second half player, but it might actually exist for some people.
Maybe.
And he's going to be better in the second half this year.
Obviously it exists.
Well, he'll improve, but...
Yeah. We should expect somewhere around 260, 360 with a 400 slug in the second half.
Yeah, well, he needs to steal some bases if he's going to be great with that slash line.
He's not going to be great, but I don't think he's going to be droppable either.
All right, some pitching prospect stuff perhaps. Joe Ross is on the DL. Apparently it is precautionary, and if it were later in the season, he would be able to pitch through it, but the Nationals put Ross on the DL, and Giolito's in the rotation now?
I think Giolito has a good chance to stay in the rotation as long as he pitches well.
I think he gets the Mets this week.
That's good.
Yeah. Jameson Taillon on the DL with shoulder fatigue. Steven Brault is replacing Taillon in the Pittsburgh rotation. What? Glass now?
Glass later, hopefully.
It's amazing how many starters the Pirates have gone through without getting to Tyler Glass now, who we all thought was going to be one of the first or second pitchers called up at the start of the season.
I mean, you would think there has to be something he's not doing that they want him to do.
Well, I've read reports that his secondary stuff isn't there. He doesn't have the command of his fastball either. So it's kind of just like, it sounds like he's just getting by on stuff right now in the minors.
And he's thrown 137 innings in AAA between this year and last year and very, very, very consistently walked 4.8 per nine.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
Yep. That is one of those things, and you can go too far with it, but I think it's one of those things where you can see pitchers get to the majors and pitch better because they're not necessarily trying to get outs in the minors. They're trying to develop pitches. This is something that I think we saw with like Lance McCullers, although the control has been an issue this season. But last year, you know, he had major control problems in the minors and then was pretty good in terms of control last season. He wasn't above average, but he figured it out. And I think a big part of that is just a lot of teams are having guys work on stuff in the minors, and that can lead to issues.
Yeah, I just don't know why I'm even holding on to Glass now in a 16-team league. I mean, there's nothing out there, but the second there is someone out there, I feel like maybe it's time to drop Tyler Glass now. And
16-team league, that's...
I know, but it's a roster spot that I'm just wasting.
I mean, I would say you can drop Tyler Glass now, but you may regret it later.
Chad Kuhl, by the way, and I'm assuming he'd stay in the rotation. He's not so bad. Maybe.
Yeah, the big thing with him is that even in the minors, he was more of a pitch-to-contact guy, so it's pretty hard to get super excited about him.
Cool. All right, Gregory Polanco dealing with a sore hamstring. Didn't affect him yesterday. He homered twice, but he's not running very well. Mitch Moreland has missed two straight games with calf tightness. Maybe that helps Jurickson Profar. We know calf tightness or calf injuries can really linger.
Yep.
I don't know if you're interested in this guy in AL only, but Chad Green, he's going to start Friday for the Yankees. Nate Eovaldi is temporarily in the bullpen. It wouldn't shock me if this move was more than just temporary, or even if Ivan Nova got removed from the rotation at some point. But Chad Green, AAA All-Star, had a great start over the weekend. You tell me.
Yeah, I can't say I'm particularly excited
I'm more excited about owning him than Nate Eovaldi.
No, I don't know about that, but AL only, Chad Green, it's a name to know. Chris Bryant expected to play today. He left yesterday's game, should be fine. Daniel Norris left with a strained oblique in the second or third inning, and Jordan Zimmermann is on the DL with a neck strain. The Nationals activated Jonathan Papelbon. They sent Michael Taylor to AAA. Does that mean Trey Turner could have a path to the big leagues via the outfield?
I would definitely hope so. I mean, the path to the playing time in the infield has
no chance.
Yeah, I mean, that has completely disappeared with how good Danny Espinosa has been over the last month and a half, which is really surprising. But I would definitely hope he gets a chance in the outfield. They've gotten pretty bad production from the center field spot this season.
Some autocorrects are coming up. Arizona sent Peter Overies back to AAA. That would be Peter O'Brien.
That happens.
Yeah. Yes, that guy can't hit anything off speed. The Mets will activate Jose Reyes. Today he will lead off and play third base. Curtis Granderson will bat second. Would you rather have Jose Reyes or Danny Espinosa?
I'm going to say Reyes.
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah,
Espinosa's been amazing, though. I mean, he's really been incredible for about a month and a half.
He's getting a big bump in my rankings today.
And I guess because we've seen Reyes be so good at times, but like, he is, what, 33?
Mm-hmm.
It is, I don't know.
I might regret saying this, and if I'm wrong, everybody feel free to call me out. Jose Reyes is done. The only thing that made him good last year was Coors Field. He's done.
Well, the 24 steals helped as well.
Whatever. So he might steal some bases. That's great.
That's very important in Roto.
I think he's going to hit like 240, 250.
So he's going to be playing over Wilmer Flores?
Yeah.
Mistake.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that's...
As the president of the Wilmer Flores fan club, the one person...
Yes.
Wilmer Flores fan club. Mistake. Benching Wilmer Flores.
We're talking about a guy that's never hit worse than like 275.
What did he hit last year outside of Coors Field?
He hit 259 with the Rockies overall. He wasn't even good with the Rockies.
Yeah, he was only good at Coors. He was bad on the road with the Rockies. He done.
It's entirely possible. I wouldn't exactly expect that, but it is certainly within the realm of possibility.
He hit 261 on the road last year.
Fine, he'll hit 260 then. All right, next up we have Giants outfielder Demand Spam.
I never have, and I never will demand Spam.
That might be my favorite autocorrect so far. Demand Spam for Denard Span. He's missed four straight games with a neck injury. I'm going to fly through the rest of this here. Hyunjin Ryu, he's going to start Thursday for the Dodgers. Julio Arias is being sent down. Yolish Chacin is in the Angels bullpen. Marco Estrada expects to make his next start despite a sore back. Michael Brantley took batting practice yesterday. Derek Norris is day-to-day. Yordano Ventura hoping to make his next start after spraining his ankle. And Joe Panik is unlikely to return from a concussion until after the All-Star break. Three players had made a rehab start or are about to. Yu Darvish made one yesterday. Alex Cobb is going to make one tomorrow. And Garrett Cole, or Ferret Cole as my phone calls him, will make a rehab start today. We have not talked enough about baseball. Let's get to it. Monday standouts. Matt Harvey was terrible. Are you guys at your wit's end with Matt Harvey?
Yeah. I keep thinking he's figured it out, and he keeps showing that he's not. Now, this is a good Marlins offense, but it shouldn't matter for a pitcher like Matt Harvey. You shouldn't have games like this consistently.
Yeah, it's been rough. He finally started turning it around, those three good starts, but then the last four have been pretty shaky overall. you can't do anything. Like, it's the same spot that we were in with Matt Harvey earlier in the season. Like, you're not going to trade him. You're not going to drop him. So what can you do?
You could trade for him if you believe in him.
You could.
Do you?
You could
in
use
him?
All of your fab on him if somebody drops him.
I know you did that. looking back, it's easy to say, you know, you regret it because he hasn't been that good or anything, but I'm really more interested in the fact that you use pretty much all your fab and have had no flexibility to pick players up. Looking back at that, we had a $100 fab league and you bid $91 on him, I believe. What are your thoughts now on that move?
I think any time, especially in, I think that was May, any time that you get a guy that I think could be a top 12 pitcher the rest of the way that shows up on the waiver wire, I'm pretty much going to shoot the moon.
Yeah.
And it might not work, and it hasn't worked at this point with Harvey, but if it does work, you just picked up an ace for fab.
Yeah.
I know, but you need fab in that league. You need to pick players up.
I've picked players up for $0.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If Matt Harvey doesn't work out, it's not going to matter if I have my fab or not.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But if Matt Harvey did work out, it might matter a lot if you have your fab. You'd be in the running with people and with the better teams, and you'd need to make ad drops.
I don't know what the secondary bid was for Matt Harvey there and how much I would have had to bid. I know there were people bidding $70 for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a risk worth taking anytime. I mean, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think Matt Harvey was going to be better. He's not been.
Now, I knew Heath was either out of town or at the beach for 15 hours yesterday because I turn the waivers off in one of the leagues that I'm the commissioner in the morning until first pitch on Monday. I do it every Monday. And he didn't pick up Kendrys Morales. And I did pick up Kendrys Morales, who is now outfield eligible. And he homered again. That gives him 9 home runs in his last 20 games. He's batting about .450 in that stretch. Kendrys Morales clearly making up for lost time. One of the hottest hitters in baseball. What about your outfield rankings now? Where does Kendrys Morales rank there?
Top 50 for sure.
Here's a question I have. When a DH player becomes outfield eligible, or any other position eligible, does that move him up in your DH rankings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he will... And I'll need to make that adjustment today. But yeah, he's definitely more valuable as a DH because it gives me roster flexibility.
Okay.
No, it was huge. That was like a game changer for Kendrys Morales. And he just got it with 5 games in National League parks. And he started in the outfield in all 5. And now they're back in AL parks. And
only because huge. Everyone on their team got hurt.
And here's a question I have. If you've got a guy that's a DH that's had a pretty good career, but you give him 5 straight starts in right field, and he goes 9-for-16 with 4 home runs. Do you let him play in the outfield a little more often? Or is that just totally?
He's just getting more engaged.
I think there are players.
He's working harder to make up for how bad he is in the outfield.
Well, I don't want to veer this off into that direction. I'm sorry, guys. We have so much to get to in the next 25 minutes or so. I just want to know. Would you rather, I'll throw out some names, in the 30s or so in the rankings, right? Would you rather have Stephen Piscotty or Kendrys Morales?
Piscotty.
Yasiel Puig or Kendrys Morales?
Yasiel Puig.
Puig.
Adam Eaton or Kendrys Morales?
Eaton
for sure in points, probably in Roto too.
How about Carlos Gomez or Kendrys Morales?
That's
Morales.
Yeah, I think Big Ken.
Brett Gardner.
I know Gomez has been better lately, but...
Not really.
Gardner.
Because you'd rather have Gardner than Morales?
Yes.
Gardner does nothing.
He's been really bad.
It's fair.
No power.
Yeah, I flip a coin, but I would probably take Morales.
Okay, yeah, no, I was going to talk about Gomez a little bit later, but he has cooled off considerably, so
which is saying something.
Yeah, I mean, he had that couple of weeks mm-hmm. where he was pretty good,
mm-hmm. but not anymore. So, since coming off the DL, entering yesterday when Gomez went 1-for-3 with a walk, 265, 345, 439 with 4 home runs and 3 steals in 27 games. It's not terrible.
Yeah, it's.
but it's, you know, it's whatever.
Pretty mediocre.
Yeah. And I also wanted to talk about Lance McCullers, guys. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, 1 run against Seattle. His best start by far. His first start this year with fewer than 3 walks. Does this mean anything to you from Lance McCullers, or is it just one start?
The one thing I would want to see is how he was pitching, like which pitches he was using. Because
slider was unbelievable yesterday.
Or
curveball, whatever.
That's one of the very best pitches in baseball, and he also uses his curveball more than anybody in baseball. And I do think he's at close to 50% with his curveball, which is pretty ridiculous. He had 18 swing strikes with that pitch yesterday. Holy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was one of the games.
But I think that can play into his control problems because, you know, most pitchers aren't going to have as good control of their breaking pitches as their fastball. And also just you're not throwing your curveball in the strike zone as much.
Right.
I offer you Lance McCullers for your Matt Harvey. Accept or reject?
I'm probably going to reject that trade.
I think I might accept it.
You'd rather have McCullers, you think?
I mean,
I don't think it's unfair.
There are not inning limits questions about him anymore because of the injuries, right?
That would be my guess.
So if I'm going to get a full season of Lance McCullers for the rest of the way, yeah, I think I might. I would definitely consider it.
Interesting, because the way you're talking about McCullers right now makes me wonder if people should consider selling Lance McCullers, because he's only had this one good start. It kind of reminds me of Taijuan Walker.
He's only had this one good start. He gave up 5 runs in his first start of the year. He's given up more than 3 runs once since then.
Don't even give me that, because he's not pitching deep into games, because he's walked 3 batters in every single game, 3 or more in every single game. Until yesterday. So that's why he's not giving up a lot of runs, because he's not pitching deep into games.
Yeah,
he's walking everyone.
I think if you go 6 2/3, strike out 6, and give up 2 runs, that was a good start.
That's not a bad start, but what's his whip? And that's probably one of Lance McCullers' better starts, if that's the line you're giving me.
What about 5 innings where you strike out 10 and only give up 1 run?
How many walks?
6.
6 walks?
Look,
so
he's
got a 1.57 whip. That is
yes.
No.
The control has been an issue this season.
He's got 11.2 strikeouts per 9.
On the other hand, last season, the control wasn't that big of an issue. He got better as the season went on in that regard last season.
Yeah.
And when I look at, you brought up Taijuan Walker. Okay. Taijuan Walker did have the 1, 11 strikeout, 0 walk, 8 inning start. It was a really dominant start. But when I look at the way they go about getting their results, mm-hmm. I'm going to bet on the guy that has the blazing fastball and the plus breaking ball, one of the best breaking balls in baseball, which is McCullers, versus Taijuan Walker, who literally has a fastball and nothing else.
Well, but this is fine. I accept that. But Heath, I mean, this is where you say that strikeouts are the most important number. You're ignoring all of the bad things from Lance McCullers.
See, I guess my problem is you are the pitching sucks guy. And we can't, every pitcher can't suck because it's all relative.
No, you know, I agree.
On another podcast when we haven't blown quite as much time, I do want to get into that a little bit because I'm not 100% sure I agree on the pitching sucks thing.
Pitching sucks just kind of, I don't know if that's exactly how I feel. I'm having fun with it, but there's no denying that the league-wide ERA is up this year.
It's up, yes.
But significantly.
Could that be because hitting is good?
I don't care what the explanation is. It could certainly be that hitting is good, but pitching has been bad. If pitching were awful, if my pitching were bad and nobody else's were, I'd be having a much worse year in fantasy. Everybody's struggling. Many people are struggling with it. I get that. So no, of course I'm not dropping Lance McCullers. I started him. I'm excited about what happened. I just want to know if maybe we can capitalize on what could be the best start he has all year. That's all.
I think you could, but given how good he was last season, how good his stuff is, I'm willing to bet on Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
Good. I hope you're right. Let's play fill in the blank. P-H-I-L in the blank. It's about the Phillies.
Oh, I thought it was about guys named Phil.
No. It's about three Phillies.
Disappointing.
Who did well yesterday. By the way, the Phillies are one of the hottest lineups in baseball because pitching sucks. Jared Eichhoff will be blank rest of season.
A Philadelphia Philly. He will also be a borderline starting caliber pitcher.
I think he will be a top 50 starting pitcher rest of season.
Odubel Herrera will be blank rest of season. He's picked it up lately.
Fast. Leadoff hitter.
Top 30?
You think so?
Top 40 for sure.
Okay, Kendrys Morales or Odubel Herrera?
Herrera.
I will take Odubel.
He's had such a weird season, too, because all those walks from the start of the season have sort of gone away, but he's still managed to be productive in spite of it.
Well, that's why I brought him up, because I was wondering if the walks had gone away to a degree, and maybe he wasn't going to be productive, and maybe this was just a hot streak.
I mean, I think he's going to be pretty close to a 300 hitter.
Yeah.
Because he's just, there's no reason to believe he won't be a high BABIP guy. And even though the walks have gone away, he's still really did a nice job of cutting down the strikeout rate.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a 340 BABIP guy and strike out 17% of the time, you're going to hit 300.
The 1 month this season, June, he had a 310 BABIP, was the only bad BABIP month he's had. He still hit 276 with 3 home runs and 5 steals. If that's your worst month of the season, you're pretty good.
Okay, that's Odubel Herrera. Next up, we have Peter Borges will be blank rest of season. Borges is tearing it up over his last 13 games, hitting around 460 or so. Having a nice little stretch here. Peter Borges, 6% owned, will be blank rest of season.
On the waiver wire?
Yeah, under 15% owned.
Okay, works for me. Five up and two down. Five up number one is Starling Marte. I just don't think we've talked about him very much this year. And he's having a really nice year. I was surprised to see that Marte is only the number 20 outfielder in points leagues, but he is number 9 in Roto with his 24 steals. Not a lot of power, batting 321 with 6 home runs. Does have 19 doubles and 4 triples, so just not a lot of home runs. Anyway, if you look at it just on a per plate appearance basis, Marte is usually around 0.7, let me see where I have it, somewhere, 0.73, 0.73, 0.77 fantasy points per plate appearance. Over his last 3 seasons. This year, 0.80 fantasy points per plate appearance. So, nice year for Marte. Another steal yesterday. Anything you guys want to say about him?
I will cop to being the low guy on Starling Marte in our office. I think the steals have been awesome this season, but everything else, the 321 batting average is awesome. He's also got, I believe I looked this up last week, I believe he has the highest BABIP in the last 50 years. Currently
400 BABIP.
Yes,
that's ridiculous. He's a 290 hitter is what Starling Marte is, and he'll probably be a 290 hitter or close to it the rest of the way. He is a guy, Starling Marte, that's always had a very, very high, he's got a career 360 BABIP.
Yes,
so if a guy's gonna have a year with a 400 BABIP, it's gonna be a guy like him.
Sure. But I also think like the power that he showed last season was fluky. I think he's probably more of like a 13 homer guy. He's good.
Like, the thing is, if you steal 40 bases like he's on pace to do, you're a top 10 outfielder in Roto, because stolen bases are just that important.
Yep, and they're up this year. You know, last year, the last 2 years, I think he's been in the 20s. In
30 each.
30 each.
30?
Both years, yeah.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's good. But
at 24 already.
24 already. Yasmani Grandal, 53% owned. He has homered 3 times in his last 4 games. He only has 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. 53% owned. Are you excited about Yasmani Grandal?
And he's part of that catcher tier that just frustrates me to no end. He's a borderline startable guy. I mean, 2 catcher leagues is obviously a must start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Curtis Granderson, 80% owned. He's homered in 2 straight games. Do you feel like a big surge might be coming? Is what we saw from Granderson last year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's been streaky over the last few years for sure. I don't know if I feel comfortable predicting that. It's certainly possible though.
Okay, Curtis Granderson or Kendrys Morales? They're ready to do that one?
No, we didn't. I would take Granderson. Because even as bad as he's been this year, he's on pace for 30 home runs.
Yeah, but you know he's not stealing this year, which hurts.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about a guy that's stolen between 8 and 11 bases each of the last 4 years, it's not going to take him much to get back on track.
What am I missing here with Kendrys Morales, by the way? It seems like you're fairly low on him given his hot stretch.
Well, he was on the waiver wire before this hot stretch.
Yeah.
He was really bad to start the season.
But he was pretty good last year. Not great,
yes,
but very good.
I I think he's like, I don't think I'm starting him in most three outfielder leagues as an outfielder.
Yeah.
You might be right now just because of the hot hand, but you mean like just going forward. Yeah.
Right. I think he's one of those guys that's definitely starting him as an outfielder in Roto.
But you're not starting Curtis Granderson in a three outfielder league.
Rest of season? I wouldn't be surprised if we are.
Okay.
I think he could be top 36.
I'd be pretty surprised.
Brad Miller is 25% owned. It's just hard to find a spot for middle infielders because there's so many good ones. But it's just worth noting Brad Miller's having a nice little year.
Yeah, he's on pace for 25 homers and is barely a top 20 shortstop. That position's been nuts this season.
Semien or Miller?
Semien.
Semien.
Gregorius or Miller?
Miller.
Miller? Okay.
Didi's been really good lately, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, he's like everybody else who's just knocking the cover off the ball at Yankee Stadium and not hitting it all on the road, right?
I think that might be changing a little bit. I know he just homered at San Diego. I think all last month he probably had pretty decent road numbers. But
Yeah, I was just looking up his home and away splits. He's got an 857 OPS at Yankee Stadium, 642 on the road.
I went on Fantasy Sports Network this morning and talked about a bunch of middle infielders, and it's like I feel like I'm not buying any of them. And the five that I was asked about were Semien, who I guess I buy for what he is, Espinoza, Gregorius, Brett Laurie, and Jose Ramirez. And I'm not really excited about any of them. I guess Espinoza you have to be excited about,
right?
At least in the short term.
Another season I might be excited about them, but
right.
It's just I'm not sure I have room for any of them.
Right. And Gregorius, I said that I think he will be. Or I don't know if I said this on the air this morning, but I think Gregorius is going to be one of the players who is much better in real life than fantasy. Just he doesn't really give you numbers that you need in fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. Other pitchers from yesterday. Danny Salazar. I know that Heath thought Danny Salazar was a good sell-high candidate and some regression was coming. He did not have a very good start yesterday. Well, he pretty good through five and then struggled in the sixth. It wasn't terrible. Chris, do you think Danny Salazar is a sell-high candidate?
Well, I think he obviously is just because he has a 236 ERA. He's probably more like a 3 ERA kind of guy. And just the, you know, he's someone that can be a little maddening to own. Inconsistency will struggle to get deep into starts at times. So if you want to sell high on him, it makes sense.
I'm going to give you a bunch of names of players who might be available. Will be available in some cases, might be available in others. You tell me who your three favorites are on this list. Matt Moore, Junior Guerra, Edinson Volquez, CC Sabathia, James Shields, Archie Bradley, Jake Peavy, Nick Tropiano, and Tyler Anderson. Matt Moore, Junior Guerra, Edinson Volquez, CC Sabathia, James Shields, Archie Bradley, Jake Peavy, Nick Tropiano, Tyler Anderson.
Guerra, Bradley, and then after that, I'm not really excited about anyone. Maybe Sabathia? No.
I would go Guerra, Shields, and Bradley.
Okay.
What about Moore, guys? Matt Moore?
I think Moore, Volquez, Sabathia, those guys I'm all going to pick up and drop multiple times throughout the rest of the year, depending on who they're facing and where they're pitching. So, and to a certain extent, or lesser extent, Edinson Volquez too.
Yeah.
Guerra and Shields and Bradley are three guys that I could see picking up and sticking on my roster.
Matt Moore, I think he's a home road guy. You know, I know Scott thinks there could be more to it than that, but pretty much all of his good starts are at home. And Peavy, you can start Peavy at home. Al talked about that. Peavy's got two starts this week, and I think they're both at home, and, you know, that's what he is.
Oh, yeah. Jake Peavy has two home starts. He's a must start.
Now in deeper leagues, Tropiano back in the rotation for the Angels, Tyler Anderson, and then Luis Perdomo, 3% own. Talk about him in a second. I'm sure you guys aren't going to be too impressed. But any of those three guys register for you? Tropiano, Tyler Anderson, Luis Perdomo?
Nah.
No, I mean, maybe Tyler Anderson, just if I can start him outside of Coors.
Yeah, he hasn't really been that bad at Coors, though.
No, he's been surprisingly good at Coors, but I don't think he's the type of pitcher that's just going to have success there. So he's probably just got bad starts coming there.
I would like to know if the raising of the outfield walls has made a difference, because it's obvious that the Colorado pitchers are having better years than we thought.
Yeah. I think it's entirely possible, but for me, the big issue in Coors Field, and it's something we could look at a little deeper, but the big issue for me, everybody focuses on the home runs and the, you know, Blake Street Bombers and all that, but the bigger issue is that it just spikes your BABIP. The outfield is so big, the ball travels so fast in the thin air that balls get turned into hits at a much higher rate there than anywhere else in baseball. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if raising the fences actually solves that, but it's something we can look into.
And I wanted to talk about Perdomo because I saw his manager, Andy Green, had an interesting quote saying something like, if we can get him to use his sinker 95% of the time, he'll be better. And I guess he has a very good sinker. He's getting 1.4 ground balls for every fly ball. But Green was like, you know, stop using your slider, stop being like every other pitcher and just use your sinker all the time. So Perdomo's 3% owned. Some people are playing really deep leagues, and three quality starts in his last four. There you go. Anything you want to tell us about FanDuel tonight, Heath? And FanDuel, you know, FanDuel is just so much fun. You get to have a new team every single day on FanDuel.com. You get to compete in different types of contests, whether you want it to be a 50-50 with smaller stakes, a little bit easier to win, or you can play in tournaments with bigger stakes and less winners. But you can really test yourself and see your fantasy baseball knowledge, how good you are at fantasy baseball as you compete against other people around the country who also love fantasy baseball. You can play as often or as little as you want. You want to play a 50-50 contest and a tournament on one specific day? Sure, do that. Play 10 contests a day. Heath, how many contests do you usually play a day?
Somewhere around 15 or 16 usually, as far as different lineups.
15 or 16, wow. And you know, so, another thing I love about it is it's not like it's hard. It's not like that takes you hours to do. It's easy to make a lineup on FanDuel. Use the app. The app is great. And when you sign up on FanDuel, use our promo code. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our promo code. It's Home Run, and you basically get a free chance to win some money up to $10. You get your entry fee back if you don't get a cash prize on your first contest. So sign up with that promo code, Home Run, enter your first contest, win a cash prize, or FanDuel automatically refunds your money up to $10 for additional play. FanDuel.com, promo code is Home Run. Anything you can tell us, Heath, about tonight's slate?
I have a couple of theories I want to throw at you.
All right.
You are the in-house Yankees expert.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that the Yankees are very bad offensively, and the only reason we don't view them as one of the worst offenses in baseball is because they're so perfectly built for their home stadium.
I think it's a very good theory.
And the Yankees on the road have the 29th WOBA and the 29th ISO. Against lefties, they have the 27th WOBA and the 28th ISO.
Are they facing a lefty tonight? Because they are so bad against lefties.
They are facing a lefty on the road, Carlos Rodon. He is only 7,900 on FanDuel. He's probably the pitcher that I will use the most. And then a pitcher you definitely wouldn't want to use, but it will lead to your top stack. There is a pitcher on tonight's slate that has faced 69 left-handed batters on the road this year.
Nice.
They've hit 11 home runs. They have a 368, 478, 1054 slash line against him.
My goodness.
And he's pitching at the Rogers Center. That's Chris Young at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
Michael Saunders is pretty close to a must play. So, yeah, Blue Jays and Carlos Rodon.
Okay. Outstanding. Blue Jays and Carlos Rodon. Make it happen, people. Let's read some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Zach Cozy, can we get off the roller coaster ride of Corey Kluber? I received an offer of Roark and Verlander for Kluber. Is that a good deal?
I do not think that is a good deal. I think that is a bad deal.
I would certainly want more. I get the frustration with Corey Kluber, mm-hmm. but I think that's selling way too low.
Yeah.
You know, is it though? You're getting two good pitchers.
I mean, I guess I'm not. I know Roark's been very good this season and has actually had the strikeout rate in a way that he has never really had before. I guess it's not a bad trade. I wouldn't feel super great.
I feel like saying that you're getting two good pitchers is taking Tanner Roark, who we don't think is as good as he's been, but giving him credit for his actual numbers, and then taking Justin Verlander, who we think is better than what his actual numbers are, and so we're saying he's good too. And you one of those guys can be good based on your line of thinking, but I don't think both of them can be good.
I'm sorry, but Verlander had a terrible start to the season. And since then has been must start, I would almost guarantee, better than Corey Kluber.
Well,
it wouldn't surprise me if he's better than Kluber rest of season.
Just two starts ago, he gave up 8 runs.
Yeah, it was his first bad start in a very long time.
Two starts before that, he gave up 4 runs.
Oh, God, I shudder to think of 4 runs in a Major League Baseball game. Corey Kluber, do we have to really get into Kluber? You're forgetting about Kluber here. This is the other part of the equation. You guys are so in love with Corey Kluber that you're forgetting about how freaking bad Corey Kluber is once every 4 starts, like clockwork.
Adam, stop yelling.
I don't get it.
Sure. On the other hand, I think I'm frustrated owning this player isn't necessarily the best reason to trade him.
Okay, you know what? No, I gotta weigh in on this Adam stop yelling thing. What really bothered me just there was, like, I said something about Justin Verlander that you guys both know is 100% true. He got off to a bad start and then he's been really good since then. You know that's true. Yet you have to dig in to the numbers, like trying to embarrass me like I'm wrong when you know that's right. So just stop with that. That's so unnecessary.
I don't think he was good in June.
What? How was he not good in June?
Look at his starts in June. He had a couple of good starts. He had a disastrous start, and he had a bad start.
All right, I'll look at his stats in June. But you know Justin Verlander, since his rough start to the season, has been a must-start guy. He has been very good.
I mean, sure, but Corey Kluber's also been a must-start guy. Even with the problem. Okay, here's the problem with Corey Kluber. Yes, I get that he's frustrating to own. Yes, I get that. I actually do agree with you. The peripherals do not tell you Corey Kluber's likely outcome, because he is someone who is likely to pitch worse than his peripherals, based on the type of pitcher he is. I agree with you on that. However, it's also not like there's like a totally predictable chain of events that leads to him struggling. It's just kind of random. And so it's not like you can just sit him ever.
No, look, Kluber's better than Verlander. I'm just saying you're getting two guys who have been good. I didn't think it was a bad trade. I don't think I'd take that trade, but I'm not even arguing about that. I think it's so disingenuous to make it out like Justin Verlander did not have a good June. He had one terrible start against Cleveland, and then the other start that you're griping about is 7 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts at Kansas City. And it's just like, that's a fine start. If that happens all the time, no, that's not a good start. But the fact is, this guy's going 7 innings almost every single time he gets the ball, and he's been really good. And using the numbers to be like, that's just so nitpicky to make the case otherwise.
Yeah, I just have to, we'll have to agree to disagree on whether or not he was good in June.
I just think everyone should stop yelling.
I get very passionate about fantasy baseball, as you know.
We're all friends here.
Absolutely. Friends yell at each other sometimes, don't they?
Man.
Chris doesn't like that. It's okay. It's not your fault, Chris.
Heath knows how to get under my skin.
I wasn't even trying to get under your skin.
When I told you to stop yelling, I was trying to get under your skin.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, it worked. Good job.
Telling people to calm down when they're angry always makes them more angry, and it's phenomenal.
That's a good point. But as I was yelling, I was like, I probably should stop yelling. Okay, last thing here. Talk about Alex Bregman. This is from John. He put this in caps, so I am going to yell because I'm going to read it just like he wrote it. Talk about Alex Bregman numbers at AAA. Need to be on people's radar.
They are ridiculous. He's appeared in 5 games. He's got 4 home runs. The one thing is, where is he going to play?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's been a Carlos Correa can't play shortstop movement, and that's been what kind of pushes Alex Bregman onto people's radar, but Luis Valbuena has been really good for about the past month and a half. They no longer have a big need at third base. Correa has not been a great defensive player this season. I do agree he probably has to move to shortstop at some point, but as long as Valbuena is hitting, and Valbuena I think is an underrated player who can certainly be a starter for a playoff team, I'm not entirely sure where Alex Bregman comes in.
You mean Correa needs to move to third base at some point?
Right, yes.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for our for our fun-filled show. Love it. Love when Heath, you and I have to do a fantasy football podcast this week, by the way.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Let's find some players we disagree on.
That sounds like a good time. Yes. I'm sure that we can make a long list of those.
Sorry for yelling, everybody. I'm going to go have a glass of water, calm down a little bit. For Heath Cummings and Chris Tapp, maybe some warm milk might be better.
I think
maybe get a nap.
I would love a nap. That'd be nice. Okay, ending the show. Goodbye. Machado.